there are some lessons you learn on the range, and there are some lessons you don't really understand until life forces you to live them. This is one of those episodes. My name's Alan Odinson, and this is The Draw. For those of you who have followed my company, Odinson Archery, for many years, you'll know that since the beginning of my company, my dog Nissa has been an integral part of everything that I've done. She was there when I made my first bow. She's been in a lot of videos. You guys know that I've chronicled her struggle with degenerative myelopathy for many years, and we've done a lot of work taking care of her. And yesterday we lost Nissa. And honestly, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how to process that. So I guess I'm kind of processing it the only way I really know how, to create. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've reached some kind of profound state of acceptance, because I haven't. I'm hurting. There's sadness, there's anger, there's that strange emptiness that happens when something that's been a part of your everyday life just suddenly isn't there anymore. And there's even a little bitterness, because sometimes life just seems unfair. Sometimes you look around at the things you've lost, the things you've fought through, and the things you've had to carry, and you find yourself asking, like, why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen too? But as I sat with all of that, I kept coming back to the lessons I've learned from archery. Because I've spent a large part of my life teaching people about archery. And somewhere along the way, archery began teaching me. And maybe one of the hardest lessons it's ever taught me is one that I need right now. Eventually, you have to release. Nissa wasn't just a dog in my house. She was family. She was part of the rhythm of my life. Those of you who have had an animal that truly became part of your family probably understand exactly what I mean. They develop their own language with you. You know their sounds, their expressions, their habits. You know when they want something. You know when they're happy. You know when they're annoyed with you. And sometimes you know when something just isn't right. The night before Nissa passed, she cried through most of the night. And that wasn't like her. She's strong. She was strong all the way to the very end, you know. I knew her. She wasn't a crier. Something just wasn't right, you know. The next morning, I sat with her and, you know, I talked with her like that every morning. She looked at my eyes and I asked her, I said, "What's wrong, baby?" And she just kind of looked me dead in my soul and cried. I asked her again. She did it again. She looked straight at me and cried. And I knew. I can't explain it really any better than that, but I knew. I knew exactly what she was telling me. Sitting and processing all of that a day later, you know, it just kind of brought me back to what I've learned from archery. Because anyone can hold a bow, but the entire act of archery eventually comes down to one decision. You have to let that string go. You can build your position, you can establish your structure, you got your draw, you're anchored in, you can settle, you can aim, you can do everything possible to prepare for that moment. But you can't keep that bow at full draw forever. Eventually, you have to release. And that's where so many archers struggle, because the release means giving up control. Before the release, the arrow is still yours. It's sitting against the bow, your fingers holding it on the string. You still feel like you're in control of what happens next. But the instant you release it, the arrow belongs to the world now. You cannot chase it downrange. You cannot grab it halfway to the target and make a correction. You cannot call it back. All you can do is prepare as well as you possibly can and then let it go. And I've taught that concept for years, but yesterday I understood it differently. Sometimes letting go isn't something you choose because you're ready. Sometimes you let go because the moment has arrived. And those are two completely different things. I wasn't ready to let Nyssa go. None of us were. If it were entirely up to me, there would never have been a day when I was ready. I would always want another morning, another night, another time hearing her walk through the house, you know, hearing her barking at the TV because she sees a dog on the TV. Another time seeing her face, another time talking to her, another time scratching her head, just another day, just one more. And then after that, I'd probably ask for one more again. But you see, that's what love does. It always wants another day, but the bow has taught me something about that too. Holding longer doesn't always make the shot better. There comes a point where holding becomes something else. Your muscles begin shaking, your structure is starting to collapse, your breathing changes. The thing that began as control eventually becomes a form of desperation. And eventually holding on can cause more suffering than releasing. For some, that's a brutal lesson when you apply it outside of archery. But I think if we truly look at it for what it is, it's true. Now, do we want it to be true? No. But that's the crazy thing about the truth. It doesn't really ride on your emotion attached to it. The truth is the truth, regardless. One of the concepts I've talked about before is the concept of the empty bow. The idea that we spend so much time focused on the arrow, the target, and the outcome that we forget what remains after the shot. The bow remains. The archer remains. The world remains. But something has changed. There's an emptiness where the arrow used to be. And right now, I understand the emptiness more than I ever really wanted to. There's a space in my life where Nyssa was, and my first instinct is to hate that space, to look at it as something that's missing, something that has been taken away from me. But I'm beginning to wonder if that's the wrong way to see it. Because an empty space can only exist because something once occupied it. The pain I'm feeling isn't evidence that something went wrong. It's evidence that something mattered. There's an empty place because there was love there. A lot of it, too. And I don't think grief asks us to fill that space as quickly as possible. Maybe we're supposed to sit with it for a while. Maybe we're supposed to acknowledge it. Maybe we're supposed to look at the empty place and say, something beautiful lived here. Archery also teaches you not to judge the entire shot by the moment of release. But think about that for a minute. Really ponder what I just said. The arrow leaving the string lasts almost no time at all. But everything that happened before it mattered. Every part of the draw mattered. Every adjustment, every breath, every moment of concentration. The shot is not simply the instant the arrow leaves. It's the entire process. And maybe life is the same way. Because as I've had time to sit with this, I understand that this is life isn't defined by yesterday. Yesterday was one moment. Albeit a painful one, but one moment cannot erase all the years before it. It can't erase the mornings. It can't erase the nights. It can't erase the ridiculous things dogs do that make us laugh. It can't erase the times she needed comfort or the times I needed comfort and she was simply there. It can't erase her sounds, her personality, the way she looked at me, the relationship that we had. You see, death has this terrible ability to become enormous in our minds. It becomes the last image, the last day, the last moment. And because it's the most recent memory, it sometimes tries to swallow everything that came before it. But if there's anything that I'm going to do, I'm not going to let one terrible day rewrite an entire lifetime. The final moment of a shot isn't the whole shot. And the final day of life is not the whole life. There's another lesson that archery has taught me, that the bow has taught me. You cannot force stillness. Anybody who seriously practices archery knows this. The harder you try to become perfectly still, the more you notice every little tiny movement. Whether you're using sights or not, you know, the sights moving around, or you got that target focus in there, or you've got your focal point, whether it be your arrow or your riser, you're looking and, man, it just keeps moving around. Your hands moving, your breathing moves your entire body, your heart's beating. All you hunters know that, right? You're alive. You see, perfect stillness isn't really the goal. The goal is learning to exist within the movement without allowing it to control you. I think grief might be similar. I don't think I'm supposed to stop hurting today. I don't think I'm supposed to conquer this emotion. People that tell you that are simply in denial. I'm certainly not going to pretend I'm above it. I'm going to miss her. Probably for a very long time. There are going to be moments when I think I'm fine and something completely ordinary is going to remind me of her. And I'm probably going to start hurting all over again. I think that happened yesterday where I prepared her breakfast and she had some food left over. And when I got home, there it sat in the pan. So yes, it is probably going to hurt all over again at times. Maybe that's okay though. Maybe strength isn't truly becoming unaffected. Maybe strength is allowing yourself to feel the movement without losing yourself inside of it. An archer breathes, an archer moves, an archer feels tension, but underneath all of it, there can still be structure. And then there's the target. We spend so much time in archery obsessed with where the arrow lands. Did I hit what I wanted? Was it perfect? Could I have done something different? And grief, it'll create the same sorts of questions. What if? What if I noticed something earlier? What if something had been different? What if we'd had another day? What if this? What if that? What if? But an arrow already released cannot be changed by regret. You can stand at the line shooting, could be behind that bow, replay that shot 1,000 times. The arrow's not going to fly backwards. The only thing you can change is what you carry forward from it. And what I want to carry forward from Nyssa isn't regret. It's gratitude. I'm grateful she was here. I'm grateful she was mine. I'm grateful for every ridiculous, ordinary, completely forgettable day that didn't seem important at the time, but suddenly feels priceless. That's another thing loss teaches you. The ordinary days were never ordinary. We just didn't know their value while we were living them. There's a Japanese concept associated with the martial traditions that I've always appreciated. Continuing awareness after the technique. In archery, the shot doesn't end the instant the string leaves your fingers. You remain present. You maintain your posture. You watch. You breathe. You don't collapse simply because the arrow's left the bow. There is still an archer standing there. I think that's where I am right now. The arrow's left. I can't call it back. And I'm just standing here with an empty bow. But I'm still standing. My family's still here. My work is still here. There are still things that I need to build along the way. There's still people I love. Things I need to teach. Arrows I haven't shot yet. Stories that still need to be told. And that doesn't mean that Nissa mattered any less. Continuing doesn't betray what I've lost. Maybe that continuing is one of the ways that we truly honor it. Because the things we love, they become a part of us. They change the archer. And every shot afterward carries something from every shot that came before it. I've spent years saying that the bow never lies. It's one of the core concepts that I teach my students. It's one of the things that I truly live in every shot that I make. The bow never lies. Now, granted, usually I mean that in the context of training, but the target doesn't care about your excuses. The bow, it exposes your tension. It exposes the impatience. It exposes fear, the ego. But I'm beginning to really kind of understand that there's another side of that phrase that I use. The bow doesn't lie about impermanence either. Every arrow eventually has to leave the string. Every shot process and every shot itself eventually ends. Every perfect moment becomes a memory, and maybe that's exactly why the moment matters. If we could hold that bow forever, there would be no shot. If nothing ever ended, we might never truly understand its value. And that's difficult for me to say, because there's a part of me that doesn't really want wisdom like this. I don't really want the wisdom from this at times. But there's a part of me that just really doesn't want that lesson. There's a part of me that thinks, I just kind of want my dog back. I want my best friend back. And you know, maybe that's worth saying too. We don't have to turn every painful experience into some motivational speech. Sometimes something hurts because, quite frankly, it hurts. Sometimes we grieve because we love. There doesn't always have to be some grand explanation for it. So I'm going to allow myself to miss her. I'm going to allow myself to be angry at times. I'm going to allow myself to remember her. And when that empty place feels especially heavy, I'm also going to try to remember, at least, why it's there. And it's there because something beautiful lived there. I think about yesterday when I was sitting with her. I was thinking, you know, a lot of people always asked us with her condition. They're like, you know, the condition's not going to get better. And most people don't really spend as much time and effort and care as me and my wife did. And I always thought back to it from the movie Tombstone, where Doc Holliday's in bad shape and he's helping Wyatt. And the guy said, Doc, he said, why in the world are you out here, man? He said, you should be in a bed somewhere. You should be relaxing. And Doc looks at him, he says, Wyatt Earp's my friend. The guy said, he said, well, hell, I got a lot of friends. Doc says, I don't. Through everything that I've been through and all of the struggles and trials that I have fought through, risen above, been pushed back down and everything, there was one thing I could always count on, and that was my best friend. And I'm going to honor her from this day forward like she never left. We had Nissa cremated, and I made the decision that I'm going to make something from her ashes for myself and my wife. The one thing that I do know how to do, the one way I do know how to work my way through things is I'm a builder, I'm a creator, and I will create. She was always there. She sat in my shop and watched me build countless things. We're going to build one last thing together. I haven't completely decided what yet, but I like the idea because in a small physical way, I'll still kind of carry her with me. Although I suppose the truth is, I was going to carry her with me anyway, right? We all carry the things we've loved. They change our shape. They become part of our stories, part of how we see the world, part of who we become. And no release can take that away. So, if you're listening to this and you've lost someone, whether it be a person, an animal, a relationship, maybe even a chapter of your life, or maybe even a version of yourself that just doesn't exist anymore, I don't have some magic answer for you. I'm sitting in it too. But the bow has given me this. Draw fully. Be present while it's yours. Don't rush through the moment. Don't forget your process just because you're thinking about the target. It's okay to feel the weight. You're going to feel the tension. But pay attention. Love what is standing beside you while it's standing beside you. And when the moment eventually comes that you have no choice but to let go, release. Not because it didn't matter. Release because it did. And afterward, while you're remaining there standing, breathe. Remember, carry the lesson, carry the love. And when you're ready, knock another arrow. Nissa, this one's for you. Love you, Bear. I want to thank you guys for sitting with me today. This was a very important episode for me, and I hope it helps somebody who might be going through similar issues or have gone through similar issues. There's always lessons we can learn from our craft. It's the teacher. It really is. The bow never lies. It never lies. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, please give us a subscribe, give us a like, share your thoughts on it. I'd love to hear from you guys. You can find me at odinsonarchery.com. You can find Alan Odinson or Odinson Archery on pretty much every single social media platform out there as well. And we always putting up new stuff, and you can find my bows, everything there. Just want to thank you guys for being here with me today. This was important for me. I needed to do this. I needed, as I've said, I needed the release. And I just thank you guys for being here and really releasing with me. So I'm just going to close out with this here. Just remember, the bow never lies, and neither does love.